Now, Cor, you must tell us, what type of bread did you find from the local humans that threw it at you?
Hey now, let's see. It's honey sunflower wheat. It's actually really good.
Honey sunflower wheat.
What kind of hippie bullshit is honey sunflower wheat? Wow. Where do you buy
So
that?
the bird left our only audience at the moment.
Live! Live! Okay, it's recording. It was recording before, but now it's
Hey.
also still recording.
So let's talk about random stuff. So how what kind of beer do you have, guys? Or whatever beverage you're
Beer, beer,
drinking.
beer, 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 beer,
A
beer.
beer, a beer, beer.
I have a beer, yeah.
Beer.
See, I'm a classy griffin.
Beer.
I upgraded to wine today.
Oh.
That defeats the purpose. This was supposed to be bullshit with beer.
Yeah,
I
bullshit with
have.
beer.
I can't even pronounce this shit because it came from what country? What bullshit country did this come from? Oh, it came from France. No reason I can't pronounce this shit. It's, let's see, black pear, white pear, élite de fruit, lush pear flavor blended with white wine.
I think your French was worse than my dubstep impression last time.
No, nothing can be as bad as that was.
So, anyhow, my beer today is the Regensburger Spital Helles from the Spitalbrauerei Regensburg. It's from
Oh
my
my God.
home. It's from my home country. From my home country and from my hometown.
I couldn't
Wow.
even like pretend to pronounce that if you asked me to.
Yeah, it's just Regensburger Spital.
Okay, sure, yes. What kind of beer is it?
It's a Helles.
Still lost. That did not help me at all.
I tried to translate it for you. It's like our standard beer. It's a pale beer. Pale beer, yeah.
It's a pale ale?
No, yeah, it's no, just a pale beer.
The hell is a pale beer?
A lager, according
It's a
to my dictionary.
pale lager. What? What? My brain. It's broken. Help.
A pale lager, yeah, so more or less.
You're gonna have to
Yeah,
like
German
set.
called Helles in German. I'm not sure if there is an equivalent in
It's called German
it's like
water they added alcohol to. That's all it is.
Yeah, oh, I read about that. Hey, did they actually get like the beer aquifers set up so that like they can like send beer wherever? Because I heard that
What
was a
is
project that was
it?
going on in like Berlin or something where they were actually like creating like a pipeline, except all it had was beer.
What? I never ever heard of that.
Okay,
That's so
God, I'll get the
awesome.
article pulled up right now because I know this is a thing. Anyways, the beer I'm drinking is Leinenkugel's Harvest Patch Shandy.
Okay.
And this stuff is delicious. It's so good.
Oh. Yeah, I try to get some very fancy until next week too. Maybe so. The one of the best pale ales I had far was some Iceland beer with a bird on it. So that proves that birds make everything better, probably.
Of course.
Aha. I have the article right here. Okay. Belgian brewery builds a 3-kilometer-long pipeline. Investors get lifetime beer supply. I'm not making this up. This is real.
I want the
Well, they
huh?
better be. They at least they're building it in Germany where the country's full of alcoholics. Because if you built it here, the beer may get a little stale by the time it gets to your house.
21 people signed up for a gold membership, and that is rewarded by a lifetime supply of beer, assuming they only drink one bottle per day. That's messed up. You build a beer aquifer, and you're only limited to one bottle's worth per day?
Oh my God.
So, wait.
This wine. Oh. Oh.
They built a pipeline, a beer pipeline, towards Germany, and they do a life like a lifetime supply is like one bottle beer to.
So I'm guessing it probably works like water. So they're given one bottle's worth amount of beer per day, and then the rest they're charged like so much per usage.
Oh, so they have,
so they have beer meters.
Beer meters.
Yep. I'm guessing they do. Anyways, what were you saying about your wine, Storm?
Oh my god. It tastes like a Frenchman took a piss and added 15 pounds of sugar to it.
What type of wine is it? Is it like a Moscato or a dessert wine?
It's a pear wine. I think this is a dessert wine. I think. I'm not sure. This is the first time I've had this type of wine. And it's literally drinking like piss sugar. It's painful. Woo!
Okay, so if we're gonna like allow wines on the show next week, I'm gonna get shitty off of Arbor Mist. That's happening. Be prepared.
I love Arbor Mist.
Oh my god!
Okay, I'm not a wine drinker, so
it's a cheap American wine. It's literally like artificially flavored, sugary, like, but so delicious. Oh my
god!
I do not
really like sweet alcohol. Yeah.
Fun fact for you, the first experience I had with alcohol as a Grifflet was with Arbor Mist. I was 11 years old. I totally did not just admit to breaking U.S. alcohol laws, but yeah, that happened.
Oh, no, I have good stories about my first being drunk too. Like, I was about 11 too, I think. And I was overnight alone with a friend watching my little brothers because my mom got, like, she was going out, yeah? And then we decided to order pizzas. And with the pizzas, because we had, it was about 20 euros, we got a free bottle of wine to it, a red wine. And,
there's
some little children, we started to drink it. And I ended up like the carpet of my the carpet of my mom was red after that.
Oh,
did you throw up?
Yeah, I threw up hard because I was a stupid 11 years old kid who did not know how alcohol works. And oh god,
see, my first experience with the wine was when I started drinking it with my friend. I stopped drinking when my talons and hind paws felt very warm and tingly. And when I got up to walk, the room started like moving and the floor was moving. And I decided to sit down until they fixed the floor because that was some crazy shit.
And now I will try to make the room stop spinning using only my mind.
Exactly. What about you, Carl?
Okay, so, well, my mom would, like, sneak me, like, tastes of beer since I was probably, like, 9 years old. So that was nothing really new to me. I think the first time I had wine was at my sister's wedding, and I was 15 years old.
Oh.
It wasn't all that good wine either. It was kind of, like, sour bitter, but trying to be, like, sophisticated at 15, of course I drank the whole damn thing and got, like, shit in front of everybody at a wedding.
Yeah, that's the best place to do it. Literally seeing my aunt walk, you know, face first into a wall and then try to, you know, walk it off and pretend she totally meant to do that is probably the most hilarious thing I've seen from a family function.
One of my former roommates, like, we were living together about the time we both turned 21, and he would, he had narcolepsy. So whenever he would drink, he would also get this condition where, like, his muscles would just kind of give out on him as the narcolepsy kind of, like, started kicking in. So he'd be drinking and drinking and drinking, and all of a sudden his knees would just buckle and he would fall into the wall. And this sounds horrible, except it was hilarious in person. And there was one point he hit the wall so damn hard, he actually put a hole through the wall with his head. And he just pulled his head out of the wall and was just laughing his ass off.
Wow.
We didn't get our deposit back.
I guess not. I you know, that just goes to show the different attitude, in Fleeks' case, Europeans have with alcohol compared to the U.S. Because, yeah, you can get alcohol delivered no problem here. In some places, they'll deliver it with your pizza if you want it, like college towns and such. But if you don't have IT, you know, an ID, legally speaking, they can't do it. It's just the way it is here. Whereas in Europe, shit, you know, they're giving you full bottles of liquor at 12. It's insane.
What is the legal drinking age in Germany, Fleeks?
The legal drinking age is beer, wine, etc. Low alcohol stuff is from 16 on. 60, nice. You can drink it when you're 16. And the hard stuff like liquor or brandy or whatever, you know, everything that has a high alcohol content is, from 18.
So that's only a 2-year difference. That's still pretty surprising. I know in France they actually, I don't know about the hard liquors, but as far as beers and wines go, they have no age limit, age restriction on that. So an 8-year-old can be with his parents at a restaurant and they'll still offer like a bottle of wine to the table.
Okay, that's a thing here in Germany too. So if you're together with your parents, you can drink alcohol.
Oh, no, they don't have to be with their parents, from what I understand. So, like, there's 12-year-olds that could be getting shitty, but apparently they just don't.
Okay. So you mean it's a building full of middle school little shits can go up and get a glass of wine with their SpaghettiOs?
Pretty much. It's yet, for some reason, the French are so damn pretentious, the kids don't. I don't know why. Like, if I was 13 and had, like, free reign of alcohol, fuck yeah. Party on, Wayne.
Okay.
Yes, crazy French indeed. Well, now, what exactly are you drinking again, Cor?
Lean and Kugel's Harvest Patch Shandy.
Yeah, that sounds
what
like
the
a
hell is that? Beer. Is that that's a beer?
It's a beer. It's delicious. Oh my god, it's really good. A lot of American beers will still adopt a German name just to seem authentic, but I don't know. So it's a really good base type of beer with pumpkin spice in it.
Oh, okay. It's that season. Yeah. Oh yeah. Halloween is soon, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It
gotta
is.
Stock up. Do we stock up on candy?
Do we have any spooky topics today? Because it's like the Halloween edition of our podcast, more or less.
It's true. By the time this episode's out, it should be on Halloween.
Yeah.
By the way, before we actually get into talking about that, today this is episode 2 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks, I think.
And I am Drunky Griff.
Woohoo! That's Storm.
Okay.
So I'm Core, Fleeks has an identity crisis, and Storm is already shitty.
I'm also known as Spudelspeck. Oh no, I know I'm pronounced in English. I'm also known as Spudelspeck.
Spudelspeck.
That's what Fleeks' name is on the streets on the weekends. And if you can't pronounce it right, you get the fat version, which is a very angry German that comes after you to beat you with Guinness bottles.
What? That's when his pimp comes up.
Exactly. Oh god, that made no sense.
Yeah, I'm literally confused so much.
It's your fault. You required alcohol to be a mandatory component.
I'm just gonna call you Fleeks.
So, all right, spooky stories.
Yeah, do you have some?
I've got horrible... one.
I've got one? Okay.
I got one. Okay. I don't know how spooky it is. Okay. But I'll wing it. We've had incidents of people running around dressed as clowns in the U.S. this year.
Oh, yeah. And, I heard about that.
And we had some of them in my area not that long ago. And so literally you'd go out to your car, go down the street, and these little shit-faced teenagers would run up and scare you with being in the clown costume. Well, what absolutely caused me to die laughing instead of being spooky, I'm sorry, this is just the first thing that came to my mind, was they went up and did this at a parking lot by me recently to an elderly woman who, instead of getting mad, took her purse, which had a brick in it, and started beating the fucking clown. And chasing him around the parking lot.
What kind of old woman carries a brick in her purse? That sounds like something you'd read on Far Side.
I'm not making this shit up. She starts chasing this little shit-faced teenager around the parking lot, and the cops end up getting called and pulling her away because she was beating the shit out of this poor kid with her purse and then her cane. And what's funny is she was chasing him at full tilt. But before that, she was using her cane to walk slowly out of the store.
Adrenaline does weird things, man.
I have to be honest. I really have to be honest. But if you put yourself in a clown costume, in a scary clown costume, and you're scaring old ladies, that's what you're hoped for. You know
that's what you deserve.
That's what you just, yeah, you just call it. Like, you want that.
Well, here's the confusing thing about the whole clown thing. So it started out with just a whole bunch of like hearsay rumors, people being like, oh yeah, there was this clown that like scared a whole bunch of kids in my neighborhood. And it was all just like fake hearsay, just trying to get attention from the media. And it got the attention from the media. And then after it was debunked, it was literally like people started doing it. They started dressing up as clowns and started running around and scaring people. And it's like, what the fuck is the matter with you people? Why?
It even swapped over to Germany, and we have real criminals here that put themselves in clowns. Like, they use the trend to disguise themselves and really robbing people. And that thing that makes them more scarier, because you just don't know if a criminal that uses that trend to rob you, or is it just someone who wants to prank you?
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, it's crazy. The guy who met that old lady you talked about, Storm, that was a lucky guy, because another case was where a 14-year, or I think 12-year-old friend, it was in Germany, I think, he stabbed the clown, and it was his 14-year-old friend. A 12-year-old stabbed a 14-year-old. Because he scared him so much.
No, so, I don't know.
I'm not asking why the kid has a knife with him, but yeah.
But under the same breath, think about it. If you're out and about and you're being terrorized suddenly by this clown who's coming at you,
you knock them the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do.
I mean, and you take methods of self-defense to protect yourself. It should be technically allowed. The clown did legit scare the shit out of you.
Fear has one of two responses, and that's fight or flight. And if you're not running, you're kicking someone's ass.
Pretty much. Yeah, and it goes so far here that the police said, people, we do not recommend you to go as clown this Halloween. Because, about 10 years ago, Halloween wasn't a thing here in Germany. But it swapped over like everything from America. And now we are really celebrating Halloween more or less. Not as big as it is celebrated in the USA, but yeah.
America, fuck yeah. So
America, fuck yeah.
Oh my god. He did it.
He did it better than you did.
I know he did. That's like amazing. So, Flakes, do you have door-to-door trick-or-treaters in Germany?
Yeah, but it's mostly little kids. So, Because the older generation does not really know Halloween. It's sometimes that they are really pissed if the children come to them, but a lot of older people are really happy about that. They already started to prepare for Halloween. Like it's a really new thing here in Germany, and somehow elderly women and men are like pretty happy to give kids sweets. That's like a fan, yeah.
It's like a fantasy. It's like a dirty fantasy. Oh yeah. Do you take my chocolate, you young little blue star?
Why are we correlating? No, Storm, no.
No, bad Griffin. Bad Griffin.
Well, here, I'll be honest with you. The real reason why I give out candy is, you know, yes, I like participating in the neighborhood and, you know, it's tradition. And so seeing little kids with their families is always fun. It is. But the real reason why I give out candy is because the little shit-nosed teenagers for the houses that will not give out candy will come and egg and TP your house.
They still do that where you live?
Oh, yeah. After Halloween, we have like 3 times the amount of cops on patrol looking out for vandals being stupid.
That's kind of normal, but I mean, I don't know. Like, they used to do that in the 90s, I remember, but like, as of late, I haven't heard of any actual like major vandalism cases, which is weird, at least in this part of the country.
They throw eggs and teepee at your house because they think that it doesn't damage anything. They don't realize that egg will eat the paint off of your car as well as some of the parts of your house. And once the egg gets baked on there with the sun, assuming you don't clean it up immediately, it's a pain to get off.
Yes. And then TP, if it's wet at all, it just sticks to whatever surface. It just becomes part of that surface that it's thrown on.
The trick part is not really popular in Germany yet. So it's more, mostly like not trick or treat, but just treat. Yeah, give us candy.
Just I feel like actual Halloween, actual trick or treating in the location where I am here in Utah is actually dying. Only the smaller towns kind of do it anymore, where you actually go door to door and like trick or treat. Nobody actually sends their kids out to go trick or treating anymore. They'll take them to what they call trunk or treat, where like a whole bunch of people go up to a parking lot and they've got candy, like their trunk is filled with candy, and then kids will just go from car to car to car and pull candy out of the trunk of people's cars. And their parents will be with them and everything. So it's like it's faster. And it's safer, allegedly, but like at the same time, it's just not the spirit of trick or treating that it used to
be. Yeah, I just wanted to say that. I don't think.
By the way, do I sound a little better? Because I just changed the setting. Okay. I don't think society is less safe for kids today than it was in the 70s, let's say, for example, or 60s. I think parents are more hyper aware of incidents against children today, thanks to the internet and the news.
I completely agree.
So while, you know, doing trunk or treating at like a local church or something is safer, it is. I mean, you're there. But if parents are almost doing their kids a disservice a little bit by having them on such a tight leash, in my opinion, because if they survived growing up, why can't their children get some of the same lessons in life growing up when they have a cell phone that can connect them to the police and their parents the minute if something bad happens? And there's things they can do. If anything, they can get a hold of faster than their parents could. Yet we keep them on a tighter leash today than we ever have.
We just coddle the new generation, and like, I could go off on a huge tangent on how I think, you know, that coddling behavior created SJWs, but I won't go there just yet. This is only episode 2 of Bird Life.
What is SJW, real quick, just so I know?
Social Justice Warriors, the Tumblr.
Don't let us talk about them.
Okay.
we'll wait a couple more episodes.
We'll put a pin in it and come back to it later.
Okay. Yeah, let's come back to it later. And I think that's a good idea that I start with the bird of the week, something I would like to introduce now. And yeah, I as you know from the last podcast, I'm an ongoing biology teacher, and I have a very
okay,
big
I'm
interest.
Sorry, I'm going to cut you off just really quick. I adore your accent. You just say words that are just perfect. And I don't mean perfect in the way that you pronounce them right, because you don't. You don't pronounce them right at all, but it's adorable and perfect and never change. Biology.
Fleeks.
Oh my god, I love you.
Biology.
Fleeks.
Biology. Fleeks. I think it's correct.
Yes.
I don't know.
Biology.
Core has the hots for you, obviously, unlike me, you know. I'm just a pain in the ass, but Core has the hots.
No, it's just his German mannerisms are, oh, they're adorable.
Seems like my my German accent bought me into that show.
Hey, go ahead and be lying.
Okay. I proceed no before.
We broke him.
I try to proceed now with what I wanted to say.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I am a biologist, and since I have a huge interest in birds, I love to collect interesting feathery facts that I can know and learn about very uncommon bird critters. And yeah, and I regularly explore some very fascinating birds, and I want to like tell you about them. And I will do it in a really special way. Like I give you a little quiz, but first of all, I want to tell you what kind of bird I prepared for today. And I want to talk with you about the blue-capped aphid.
Okay, so we're not doing a quiz thing? You're not like gonna like guess the bird?
No. I have another idea.
Okay.
And that bird, you don't. I'm sure you do not know the blue-capped aphid. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly, but I'm sure you don't know it. So it would make no sense to let you guess the bird. So and that bird lives in New Guinea, and I think it would be really fun if I would make you, Corn Storm, guess. What does make that bird really special? And,
okay,
but
so
you don't
I'm guessing
have to
we're not
guess.
Allowed to have him pulled up on Google. Is that right?
No, don't use Google. That would be really unfair.
I'm closing Google
but
now.
I don't let you guess into the
cheater!
Blue. I prepared.
I didn't read anything yet. I promise.
I prepared four possible answers.
Okay.
And I want you to discuss what of them is true. And yeah, if you're ready, I would ask you.
Hey,
them.
Fleeks. Is it possible we can see a picture of the bird first? Just a picture. That's all I'm asking for, is a picture.
Okay, our broadcaster wouldn't see that, but yeah, I can.
Well, for the benefit of Coronice, because I think at least being able to see a picture of the bird and nothing else, just a picture, can help us guess this answer to these questions.
Yeah, then just give me a moment to.
If you think you have the answer, shout ding really quickly.
What?
That's okay. While you're looking for Fleeks, while you're looking for a picture to show us, you can go ahead and mimic some of that ops and dubstep music that you did last week, or we're on hold.
I just sent you a picture.
We're waiting.
How did you send it?
I know, but I need some time to here. You got it. Here.
All right. I see the indication. Go. Okay.
It's a really beautiful bird. Yeah, it has that blue stripe, that blue crown around his head, and yeah, it's pretty.
If a bird could be Jewish, I think this bird would be Jewish.
Yeah,
holy shit!
It's got a little tiny yarmulke on its head. It's so cute.
Listeners, just Google it so you can know what we are talking about. But now I give you the four possible answers, and only one of that is right.
Well, what was the question?
The question is, what makes that bird special?
Okay.
So the first answer is, and you have to decide if it's true or not. Only one of the four answers I give you is true, so to make that clear. So okay, the first answer would be
two. The female okay, got bird. It. Two of the answers are correct, two of them are wrong.
One is right. The other three are wrong.
Okay, one is wrong, three are right. Okay, guess the wrong one. Right.
We got this. We got it.
Come on, Raven.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Don't do that to me.
He's so adorable. Oh my god.
You're the worst. You're the worst quizzes.
Will you rebooted off this game show so quick?
No, I stopped.
Okay.
The female bird kills his male mate after copulating with it. It can change its plumage color for camouflage, similar to a chameleon. C. Its feathers are poisonous. It contains the same toxin as a poison dart frog. Or D. Its mating display contains a whole playlist of Celine Dion songs.
D.
So what was option C? What was option C?
It feeds are poisonous. It contains the same toxin as the poison dart frogs.
And then B and A? Go ahead and just give the options A, B, C again.
The female bird kills its mate after copulating if it does not escape early enough. It can change its plumage color for camouflage similar to a chameleon.
I think
its feathers are poisonous. It contains the same toxin as poison dart frogs. Or its mating display.
I think they all sound horrifically false, to be honest with you. But yeah, I'm going to go with the plumage color as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're both of you are choosing B.
Yes.
Right, because A, you know, aside from spiders, I mean, I know a couple dragons and some angry griffins that would kill their mate if they don't satisfy them in bed. But aside from that, I don't think this cute little bird's going to be doing that. So.
Yeah, okay, so that's your final answer?
Yes, my final answer.
Yeah, I have no idea how... I have no idea how a bird would change its plumage color. That just doesn't even make sense to me.
I'm just rolling
with it. You can still change your answer.
I'm sorry, I'm going to abandon ship and go for A, because that is just the most biologically probable to me.
So it kills its mate.
Yeah, I think that's gonna have to be it.
Okay, let's go to the answer. You're both wrong. It actually has poisonous feathers, and if you touch it, your hands get numb.
And it's the same poison as poison dart frogs.
Yeah, it sequesters that so-called batrachotoxin in his skins and feathers. And it obtains that from some poisonous beetles.
Oh my God.
That's a pretty common thing in the animal kingdom. Mainly for insects. So that bird is like it's really special for that kind of bird. There are about three other birds that do the same thing, like the hooded pitohui. I don't know how to pronounce that. Pitohui. I don't know. And yeah, it's really, it could easily kill a bird of prey. If a bird of prey eats that bird, that bird of prey will not live any longer.
I was completely unsold on that one being plausible because, like, you said same poison as the poison dart frog. And I was thinking, well, the only way it would be able to do that is if it ate the poison dart frog, but then it would die.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm guessing it lives in the same tropical region as poison dart frogs. Am I right?
Give me a second.
To the Googles!
To the Wikipedia. Yeah. Well, it's New Guinea, and I think there are...
The poison dart frogs are in Colombia.
Well, the idea of the bird having toxic feathers was going to be my next choice.
But the bird obtains the poison in the same way the frog obtains it.
Okay.
Eating the bugs who contain that poison. And there are obviously a lot of bugs who have that deadly poison.
Don't fuck with bugs, people. Like, insects are horrible.
Yeah. And of course, they're immune to that poison, so that bird could probably eat a poison dart frog and would get even stronger from it.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, you can touch it. So scientists who touch the dirt, they get a tingly, they get tingly and numb hand, numb hands.
That sounds exciting.
I know I have, why it sounds
exciting. I have no rebuttal for that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I baby. Can you imagine touching the bird and then touching other things and be like, ooh, this really heightens the experience.
I knew
but it doesn't.
Storm. I knew it.
It does the opposite of that.
But you have the poison on your hand then. Just think a bit further.
Yeah, you don't want that down there. That's horrible.
Oh, what the hell? If you're drunk enough, who really gives a shit?
Oh god, you're the worst, Storm. You're the worst.
Well, I've got a bird trivia thing to ask both of you when you're ready.
Okay. Go.
Okay.
Go on.
You ready, Flakes? Okay. All right. Okay, for some reason, my bird notes say, breed me daddy fet. No, that is not what I want to talk about. Let's scroll down past that. Okay, two questions for this week.
No comment. Me.
Give it to me.
Oh, breed me. Okay. First things first, what is a group of griffins called?
Annoying.
Oh, that kind of question. Mother cluckers.
Assholes. It's a group of assholes.
It's a group of stinky cat butts.
No.
Litter box user.
Litter box user? Oh,
I think
you.
He might be onto something. I mean, like, if they are like cat related, it might be called like a litter of griffins. But I'm going to stick with
a litter of griffins, yeah.
My final answer is still assholes.
Okay. What about you, Fleeks? What's your final answer?
Cat butt collective.
A cat butt collective. What is this, like a cat butt union? Local 134 or some shit? Jeez. Okay. The answer is a group of griffins is called an empire.
Bullshit.
No, this is true.
They're not any close to royalty at all.
Yeah, so if you ever see a group of griffins, you can refer to them as being an empire.
So when you see a group of ravens, there's actually... There's a whole bunch of names. No, that's a murder of crows. But actually, they can be referred to as a murder as well. Ravens, however, have a whole list of things that they could possibly be called. A bazaar of ravens.
Well, that definitely sums you up.
I know bazaar, what...
Like the marketplace.
I know what's sold on that bazaar, and it's not Chinese, because they wouldn't give away the Chinese.
Bazaar, Congress, Conspiracy of Ravens, Constable of Ravens, Parliament of Ravens, a Rant of Ravens, a Storytelling of Ravens, a Tower of Ravens, and an Unkindness is the official term. An Unkindness of Ravens.
Oh.
Well, that sums up you.
Yes, it does.
That sounds like a flock of core.
A flock of core. Wow, so that's what he calls his...
He was the one who called griffins assholes, and it will follow you in your grave.
What do you call a group of woodpeckers, Fleeks?
Google. I don't know. It's just a flock of woodpeckers, I guess. But
I'll tell you what you call a flock of woodpeckers. Annoying.
Hey, I already made that joke.
And property damage. That's what you call a group of woodpeckers. Property damage. Flying termites. There you go.
Vandalists. I would call them warm isolation vandalists.
Oh, geez. Well,
actually, I have it here. One second. I'll get it pulled up all the rest of the way. A flock of woodpeckers is referred to as a deceit, a descent, or dissimulation.
Well, my kind of woodpecker is more like a solitude guy of bird.
Hang on, sorry. A group of woodpeckers is called a descent.
Yeah.
A descent.
Why do I...
That sort of sums up what they do. That sort of sums up what they'll do to your house. peck it enough, it'll descend into the ground.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Oh god, it's a flock of woodpecker. It's the descent.
Run! The descent is coming! The descent is coming! Okay. I've got another question for you. Second question. Y'all ready?
Yes.
No.
Okay. This is a more serious question. Since, you know, we have many international fans, especially within the Bird Crew and the Bird Chat and such, that here is a question just for one of them to make them all warm and fuzzy on the inside.
I'm not sure if they have fans. No.
What is the official bird of the country of Denmark?
I'm guessing we can't use Google.
No, you cannot use Google. But I can give you hints if needed.
Give us a little hint, a little tiny hint.
Can you pull the audience? I did not think that far ahead. No, because I'll just use Google most likely. So,
unfortunately. Yeah.
Think about the country's persona. Okay, I'll give you some hints. See if you can guess it. Okay. This bird is 49 to 67 inches in length, or 125 to 170 centimeters.
Is that wing to wing or snout to vent?
That's wing to wing.
Okay.
A penguin.
No. No.
Good try.
It is native to what? What'd you say?
A swan.
You're right.
Oh, great. But I had that tickling in the back of my mind because Denmark isn't really far from here.
Exactly. Here's a fun fact about it. It's actually the mute swan. It is a species of swan that is a member of the waterfowl family of Antennae. I cannot pronounce this shit. It is native to much of Europe and Asia and flies as far as the north of Africa. It was introduced in North America, Australasia, and South Africa. It is called a mute because it derives that name from being less vocal than other swan species.
Oh, yeah, the mutes. Yeah, I know that, Chris. But
there's one thing I love about this bird. Unlike black swans or other swans you may see in nature, mute swans are assholes.
They're more aggressive.
Just like the people from Denmark, they're incredibly territorial, and a group of them are referred to being a colony, aka colonial. The largest colony of swans have over 100 pairs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Yeah, I got the answer as soon as you said it's a big bird, because we do not have a much big birds here. My second guess would have been a stork.
That's what you call your friend between your... You want a piece of my woodpecker stork?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the right term for... Wait a second. A stork, oh yeah, it's a stork.
It's a stork, okay.
It's a stork. I did not get what you want.
Look at my stork. Leave me alone. Amazing.
Leave me alone.
Give it a lick. It tastes just like raisins.
Well, see, mine tastes like just like candy because mine's very sweet. But then again, that just describes my personality as well.
What does your dragon taste like? If you just licked his face, what would his face taste like?
Doritos.
Oh God, yeah,
that's pretty much how I imagine dragons to taste like Doritos.
Yes, my dragon has tasted and smelled like Doritos since first met him.
Is that what made you fall in love?
Oh god, no, I hate the smell of Doritos. It's been a strain on the mateship ever since. Oh god. And what about you? What does your partner in crime taste or smell like there, Sir Fleeks? Or Sir
Core. I don't have a partner at the moment, but I guess.
What did your last partner taste or smell like?
Hyena.
Oh, you have one of those too. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What about a
hyena? So your partner literally tasted like a hyena? That's a weird. I'm talking about just like general like lick of the face. I'm not talking about nether regions here. I'm trying to keep it like somewhat PC.
What about you, Cor? What about you? Answer the question.
She tastes slightly like orange juice. If I lick her face, slightly like tropicalish orange juicy.
Orange
pleasant.
Oh my. Now, is it Minute Maid orange juice or is it?
I don't know. It's like it's fruity. It's like a citrusy fruit.
That's a good taste. It's better than onions or Doritos, I think.
She smells nice all the time.
maybe she bathes in orange juice regularly. Maybe it's good for the skin.
So Cor comes home one day and finds the bird bath filled with nothing but orange juice as his mate singing away, splashing around.
Yeah, and to make it more Halloween relevant, not orange.
And very expensive. Really expensive bath.
Yes, it would.
Well, yes, she just could use like orange concentrates.
So now it's fake orange juice.
Concentrate is not necessarily fake, but no, he's onto something. Could just use like two or three tubes of concentrate.
Uh-oh. Our official draconic intern has presented a question.
Okay.
And the question is this. Fleeks, what do you call an Oompa Loompa that is good with money?
What is...
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. I refrain from answering this question.
I'm going to guess a Joompa Loompa.
A Joompa Loompa? Is that your final answer?
Yes. I'm going to cut that segment out, I'm sure.
Orange juice. Oh, God. Oh. Go away. That's horrible. Okay.
What? What's horrible?
Turn the TV on, then I shall terrify you with puns.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That was bad. That was really bad. I apologize, guys.
It wasn't so much that the joke itself was bad. It was just, like, I mean, the quality of the joke was bad.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The quality of the joke was so bad. bad, Griffin.
Yeah, well, so, you know, this is what happens when you feed me out. I can't help it.
Tell me about your guys' week. What have you been up to this week?
Not much. I'll
let Felix go first.
Okay, I think... What have I done? I was at home the whole week preparing stuff for university and haven't done much. Really, I my week was pretty boring. So that at the moment, that's my highlight of the week.
My week's always never boring.
What'd you do?
Let's see. I had to deal with a water leak in my nest. I had to deal with an angry old woman throwing things at me who was a client. I had to deal with a customer asking me to hide bestiality from her boss. I had to deal with... Yes! Oh, I live a fascinating lifestyle. I had to deal with a...
Oh, life in the Midwest.
I had to deal with a roommate asking me what it's like to get it on for the first time. I had to deal with going to Steak and Shake. And then I'm also looking at which college I'm going to attend for my bachelor's degree. So I've been researching colleges and reaching out to them. So that's been my week for the most part.
We have a pretty neat question. We got a pretty neat question from Ren. And he asks us, what is the science behind beak kissing?
The science behind beak kissing?
Well, there's several types of beak kisses. And they're best explained in pictographs. Or interpretive dance. Yeah.
So, just imagine some pictograms right now.
Oh, so we're okay. So we're moving on. We're moving on from the segment of what did you do this week to answering questions?
Yeah, because we. I guess so.
Okay. So I can definitely answer this question. One, the most basic form of a beak kiss is just a simple beak tap. It's kind of like, you know, two people bumping noses together, except a little more intimate, at least implied. Method two is open beak kissing, where each of you kind of tilt your head 90 degrees and you just kind of like clamp down on the side of each other's beaks. Doesn't really work all that well with curved beaks, but it's still doable. Method number three is just full-on beak biting. Just chomp down on your partner's beak.
Oh, okay. I chomp down to
clacking for a reason. That's what it is. It's called clacking.
No, we talk over each other.
Yes.
Yeah, I have just one complaint. It's so, not 90 degree. It's not 90 degree, but it's like 45 degree, because if you turn your head 90 degree, you would end up with the starting conditions just that the beaks are reversed.
Fucking Fleeks being the engineer. Oh, God.
Hey, so...
so what, 45 degrees better for you?
Yes, we'll go with 45 degrees.
45 degrees, yeah.
That said, so, like, if you actually observe, like, partnered birds in the wild, you can actually see them click beaks together, like, to express, like, affection for each other. It's really cute.
Yeah,
I've seen flamingos do it, blue-footed boobies, there's plenty of GIFs of them. And just, like, any type of bird that does a mating pair kind of thing, they beak click together, and it's adorable.
Boobies!
That was, like, that was his like entire
little bird smooches.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've got another question here from one of our followers, and that is, for bird problems... how do I avoid these annoying car grills? This question comes in from Phil Adler.
You can't avoid them. It came with a photo of a bald eagle stuck in a car grill.
You have to question how it ended up there, because I don't think the car could have been moving. I think the bald eagle, for whatever reason, decided to go under the car and then thought the best way to get out would be through that little lip at the bottom. Because it doesn't look injured, it doesn't look traumatized, it looks like it just got stuck and is like,
I
fucked up.
Satisfied. It looks pretty satisfied, pretty happy. Like, yeah,
I think it's happy. I think it looks like kind of grumpled.
I think it's pissed off. Maybe it went in there to take a nap, and then the owner turned the car on.
And it panicked.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the way I would avoid car grills is to just not fly towards human cars. It's the easiest answer to give. Only nest in actual nature-built objects instead of human objects.
When you're the car, it's just a short thing. When you're the car driver, you just shouldn't store your dead mice in your in your car.
You see, birds have this advantage over humans, and it's summed up in one word. It's called altitude. You just fly higher than than objects that humans create, except airplanes. Yeah. Airplanes are just assholes with loud, sucky engines.
Though we have brought out a couple of airplanes before, so
I hope we satisfied the Phil Adler with that answer.
Last question we have going for us here comes from Tumbleweed.
Jesus!
You just want to ask another question?
Oh God!
He asks us how to resurrect and inflate a bird.
I don't even know how to answer that question.
I have an idea. I have an idea. Here's my idea. What you do.
You first.
First, you find all of the tears in the inflated burb, and you patch them up with the best vinyl available, and then you fill it full of cheap booze. After that, you send it to the nearest furcon and take all the booze away from the furs except for this inflated burb. And once people realize that if you pop the inflatable's little hole and they can get some free booze, it'll be the life of the party.
Yes, yes, it will.
That's not really bad. My suggestion would have been filled with spiders.
Oh! 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 No! No!
We already established that Alex in bird chat is nothing but a bird suit full of spiders.
Yeah.
My question would have actually been somewhat similar to Storm's. I would have actually just filled it up with water and just like rolled it down a set of stairs.
Or you just inflate it and put it on some on some strange furry room party on a con, then it will like be the yeah.
I would love to see an inflated bird actually try to like move if it was just filled with water. I don't think it's possible. I think it would just sit there and kind of slosh around.
Yeah, it would be pretty heavy, depending on how big it is.
The million-dollar question is, if this is an inflatiburb, where is the port to do the inflating, if you know what I mean?
Depends on the inflatiburb. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that pretty much wraps it up as far as the question section goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else do you guys want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about... All right, let Fleeks go first.
Last time we talked about a bird that did a special service to our bird community.
Right.
And this time I would like to talk about bird cheese. Really, I think every bird knows bird cheese. And I don't talk about the cheese birds make, I talk about the user on Tumblr, the user bird cheese that makes amazing bird gifts.
Oh, I love them so much. Cute. Oh, my God. Oh, every time I see one of those awesome little bird gifts, I just melt.
Yeah.
I tend to torture... I'm also in a local furs chat on Telegram, and I tend to torture all of the local furs with bird gifs.
That's the best thing you can do.
The best part of waking up is chirping your cup. Okay.
Bird cheese in your cup.
And what I think is amazing with bird cheese is that people can ask them, can make requests, and with a bit of luck, you get your own, you get a gift done. Yeah, you get a gift done. She answers your question with a gift.
Yeah, that's really sweet. So we'll include a link to her page in the description below.
We just need to get her to do a few griffs. That's all.
So Birchie's, if you listen to
the whole thing for griffins.
There's no such thing as doing enough griffs.
Yes.
And as far as I know, Birchie's even does commissions, and yeah, it would be amazing to have a bird life Birchie's gif.
Oh,
maybe
God.
We can hit her up.
I like this idea. But the question is what would each of us be doing?
That's kind of up to her. I would love to leave it open to interpretation.
I don't know their gender, but yeah, it would be up to them.
Hmm. So at this point, we are about an hour in. Do we want to keep going? Do we want to wrap up?
Well, I think one more little bit, and then we'll wrap up. One more little something. Do you have an idea what you want to talk about, either one of you? Otherwise, I'll throw an idea.
No, I'm open for everything.
All right. Here's my idea. Bird preening advice. You know, we have a flock full of over 300 birds now. What are some preening tips you have to keep the bird mites off of you and those feathers shining while at the same time attracting all the attention you desire for your nest, if you know what I mean?
That's actually pretty easy. You just start a chain of preening.
A chain of preening.
A chain of preening is a good idea.
So one bird preens another bird, and so on and so forth.
But yeah, would other birds be able to preen you to the same level of quality that you can preen yourself?
Well, see, that's where, like, you know, if you feel like there's improvement that, you know, another bird could be making, you just give that advice. And then the entire, like, quality standard just improves.
Okay, but in this situation, let's say we do the bird chain, and I have, you know, you preening me and I'm preening someone else, I'm much bigger than you. That would be a challenge for you.
Well,
because griffins are such attention whores, they would actually probably require more than one bird to preen them at any given time.
I'm so in favor of this. Yes.
I like to think about it like that. So birds could use like a professional preening assistants. Like, you know, griffins. I mean, griffins could use professional preening assistants who they lock them up in their shower. And yeah, it's like a bird shower then.
And will we offer happy endings for an additional fee?
You see, the only thing that I'm worried about here is the German was talking about locking them in a shower.
Oh, Carr, no, you didn't. You didn't.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
We just can't help it. We can't help it.
No.
I'm sorry,
no. Please. I will never forgive you.
I need to hug you. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, see, Carr will apologize to you and hug and love on you. But when I go and drop a dive bomb on somebody, you know, they just say, oh, fuck you, Storm. You're a griffin. So.
Because you're a giant cat butt.
I am a giant cat butt, and I'm proud of that cat butt. But now, you know, how do you preen a cat butt? Because you can preen the bird half of me quite easily.
I don't want to touch the cat part. I'll leave that up to some other unfortunate bird.
So you're only preening half of me.
I'll just work on your head. I'll preen your head and your ears.
What about the big wings?
No, I'm lazy.
They get auto-preened when you fly.
What about you, Fleeks? What is your preening advice you have for all the sexy chicks and roosters we have joining us?
You need a long beak and, like, as a woodpecker, you can preen ridiculously fast, but it would be hurtful to preen others, I guess.
That would be the most intense preening job I ever had in my life.
I mean, 16 preens a second. I mean, it's fast.
I don't think you could walk away from that preening session without a concussion.
you do not want to be preened by a woodpecker, I think. It's
I would love to be preened by a woodpecker that's on slow motion.
We just don't give him caffeine that day. That's chill.
But the force of a woodpecker pecking is like 13 miles per hour against the wall. If you punch your head against the wall with 30 miles per hour, and they do it 16 times a second. So even slow motion, that would probably...
Even Muhammad Ali is going, God damn.
Yeah.
God damn. 1, 2, 3, knockout. So, Fleeks, how do woodpeckers preen each other then? I mean, is it like the world's fastest preening session, or do they both knock each other out?
Well, like I stated it 1,000 times, woodpeckers are immune to pecks. Like
it's true. I mean, their brain has like an anti-concussion system in place. I think it's actually partially supported by their tongue, which is really weird.
Oh yes, the tongue wraps around the skull.
It does, and there's like a meningeal layer in between the tongue and the skull itself. So when the woodpecker's actually pecking, like yes, the brain recoils a bit, but it recoils into the soft squishiness of the tongue, so it's okay.
No, it's actually it does not recoil in the slightest, because if it would recoil, it would be shaken, even if it goes against soft stuff. The first thing is that the brain is really fixated in there. It cannot swap around, else you would get a brain trauma. And the second is the beak is specially formed, so it leads all the force down the whole woodpecker body through his feet and back to the tree.
Oh, geez.
And actually,
a lot of engineering went into creating woodpeckers.
Yeah,
and I understand why the German is now a woodpecker.
Pretty much. It's like the ultimate engineered bird.
The fun fact is The fun fact is, engineering, that they have an application for that anatomy of, that they really look at that woodpecker because they want to make machines like drill bit, like driller or something, that have no back shock. You know what I mean? I don't have the word for it right now, but I'm sure you know what I mean.
I yes. do.
They want to have machines, destructive machines that don't have such a huge recoil.
Hey, am I the only one that noticed that when Fleeks is stumbling, stumbling a bit on words, he sounds like a woodpecker?
Yeah, he goes over the same syllable like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's adorable. It really is. Yeah. So, I guess we're kind of approaching the final segment. Is there any last comments or things you like, either one of you would like to say?
Well, it's probably time to say goodbye now.
Probably about. So, I mean, we do now have the website up and fully functioning, and that's bird.life. There is no .com. You can also catch us on facebook.com/birdlifepodcast or Twitter @birdlifepodcast. We'll also be on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher relatively soon, but for now you can subscribe via the RSS feed. And we also do have a Telegram channel you can join up as well if you want to chat with us. And that's telegram.me/birdlife. All one word, yeah. Birdlife.
And you can use that BirdLife chat to ask us questions, to give us maybe some ideas. To give us challenges, maybe. Well, yes. Whatever you come up with, we will listen to you, and we will probably do it.
No, we'll try to do the thing.
Then you can use the Telegram or Twitter to reach out and tell us how much you love Griffins and how you think we should get more representation in the Birdanian Empire. Because, we are just a quota right now.
So. Maybe I'll start a poll on the website and just have it like, Griffins, yes or no?
There you go.
See whichever one comes out. Every poll I've ever run involving griffins, however, normal birds have won. I'm going to give you that fair warning now.
Oh.
But it's not about griffins versus regular birds. It isn't. Okay? It's about whether griffins should be as appreciated in the flock as regular birds.
I think they should. I genuinely think they should.
You know what's strange with the polls is that like griffins are overrepresented in the bird crew, so even griffins seem to like birds more.
He has a point. Not gonna lie.
I'm not gonna lie. I have got a bird brain and a griffin, so I think like a bird. I really do.
You cut it off.
I may have a cat butt, but I think like a bird. So again, I'm proud to be part of the flock.
Okay. Well, I think that about wraps it up. If you enjoyed this episode, you can also consider giving us a kiss. We do also have that on the website. A kiss costs $1, and what it does is it actually donates $1 from you to us, and it really helps us out as far as server fees go and web space and etc. Anything you donate will ever only be used for the podcast.
Yes.
So if you want to help us out, definitely click the flute bird, as Fleeks would call it, the magpie. On the website.
Yeah.
Yes. Do that thing.
Do that.
Yes. Please do that. Please do that because, damn it, I need a pay raise. And right now I'm working for negative equity.
It's true.
Yeah. It will, I guess.
We'll just whore core out on the weekends. It's okay.
I'm already booked.
All right.
Anyways, well, thank you for joining us and always be beeping.
Always be fucking chirping. Fucking beep on.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
unbelievable.
Well, the microwave was invented in California by a couple of surfer dudes, and when they invented the microwave, they pictured it as actual literal waves washing over the food, except they weren't water waves so much as they were just waves of heat as the machine produced energy.
Yeah, waves of heat.
And it was clearly for the production of weed refinement, because only top quality weed is allowed within the California
state lines. Why would you microwave
your weed?
Because this is microwave.
I don't think that's one of those things that's better served warmed. Well, I guess technically it is with brownies.